Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Today is 27th of December. We have 4 more days to the close of the year. I was having a chat with somebody, and he was telling me that I'm scared. Oh, but believers, you are not scared. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because you dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, it is well with your soul. It is well with your soul. And beloved, if you have anything to the contrary, as our pastor comes to interact with us, by the close of the session, it shall be well with you. I say it shall be well with you. Shall we be on our feet as we welcome our pastor? Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Papa, we bless you this very night. I ask, O God, let your spirit permeate every avenue, every point and vantages of our lives. Let every part of our being, O God, be thoroughly cleansed by the blood. This very night, may we stand blameless in your presence. May the accuser of the brethren not point a finger at anyone here tonight. Let any pointed fingers be broken. Let the angel of the Lord that was released as the enemy stood against Joshua the high priest, so let your angel stand on our behalf in the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight, O God, let prayer be effective. Let prayer be fervent. Let prayer have results. Let prayer prevail and let it avail much. In the name of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Amen. God bless you so much. This is the last Friday service of 2013. And we want to go into prayer in the next few minutes. Hallelujah. I was about to ask, where is Mr. Russell? And I saw that face looking at me like, amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bible quickly. Let's go into the Word of God. Let's not waste much time. We want to pray. Amen. We want to pray. How many of you are here to pray? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You will hear the Word. Amen. And you shall pray. Because the Word today is that you pray. Amen. Turn your Bible to the book of James, chapter 5. There are many scriptures that I have read, but few scriptures have affected my life prayerfully as this very common verse that I will read for you today, and we shall take a little brief understanding of it and then we go into prayer. I don't know, but every time I read this verse, something happens to me. There is something that makes me feel insufficient and brings the need of me to meet the mark. Amen. James chapter 5, the verse number 16. And I have often spoken from this verses, but I can never really fathom the completeness of what James wanted to speak about. You see, the writer James, the beloved, was called the man with the callous knees or the camel knees. He was referred to as the most prayerful of all the apostles, just in case you were not aware. He was referred to as the most prayerful of all the apostles in the Bible. So they call him the man with the callous knees or the camel knees. The reason was because he stayed on his knees for so long that his knees became very stiff and very, I don't know, hard. very tough. I don't know if you ever grew up back home in Ghana and you were what we call Kubolo. Those of you here, you might not know what it is. It is Ga, right? How many of you know what it means? Uh-huh. Amen. And back in those times, we would leave our parents' house and we would go and walk in the gutters and all kinds of things. And our mission was to go and catch a golden fish. So we go catch the goldfish, which I walk all the way. I live in Caprice Bay. And we walk all the way to Alajo and go down there and to Kotobabi and look where we can find the fishes, the golden fishes. And usually you'll find them in very, very dirty water and smelling water. It was there. And there was one with a big head with a small tail. I forgot what it was called. Very, very small, you know. And so we'll catch them and we'll bring them home. And then, you live here for too long. Amen. So we'll catch them and then we'll dig the ground. And then we'll pour the water over there with the golden fish over there. And within a few weeks, they will die, you know. And then we'll go back and, we were not bad kids, but our neighborhood was infested with adventures, amen. So we would go and play ball, soccer with our bare legs in the rocks and stuff. So sometimes you fall, you know, and then, usually when we go outside to play ball, there are certain kids that you want to really stay away from. And those are the kids that their legs have a lot of marks. You see their legs, they have had a lot of cuts on their legs and their knees are very tough. You see that, the knees have suffered and a lot of things. So when you see them like that, you are afraid. And you don't want to go because the way it is that, there are certain legs when you kick them, you feel it. And so there are certain legs you don't play with. I'm saying this in reference to the fervency of effectual praying. That a person who has stayed on their knees for so long praying, they gain a spiritual stamina. That everything that you hit against them will come back to you. Now, I want to take you through the Bible, and I want you to understand a couple of things with me. Are you in James 5, the verse number 16? It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth fruit. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm speaking on the subject, the supremacy of prayer. The supremacy of prayer. It's a very familiar title on my lips, so don't worry. I'm talking about the subject, the supremacy of prayer. And I want to highlight unto you how effective is prayer. How effective is prayer? How far can prayer go? Why does prayer fail? And why does not God answer prayer? Why does not God answer prayer? Now, when you were growing up as a child, you asked your parents for many things. But it's not everything that you asked for that they gave to you. Amen. And they did not give because they did not love you. Some of the things, they withheld them because they loved you. Some of the things they did not give them because they love you. That is why they did not what? Give them unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. So the fact that God did not give does not mean that God does not what? Love. Amen. So sometimes every parent has denied their child something as a result of the very fact that they love their child. Every parent also understands certain things, that when they give or when their child asks something, the response is usually three ways. It's either yes, no, or maybe, right? Amen. And so the same way with God is either yes, no, or wait, not maybe. Amen. God does not do maybes. Amen. So it's either yes, no, or wait. That period of silence is a period of waiting. The period when it seems like God has not answered is an indication that he has answered and said, wait. Are you hearing me, someone? Now, I'm talking about the subject, the supremacy of prayer. And I want to bring something to your mind this very evening, that prayer is supreme. Are you hearing me, somebody? Prayer is supreme. And what I mean by that is that prayer can do anything that God can do. In other words, if God can do it, then prayer can do it. Listen carefully again. Because what I am saying is in what I'm saying. Amen. Are you hearing me, someone? If God can do it, then what? Prayer can do it. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? There is nothing beyond the reach of a man or woman who prays. There is nothing that you cannot have if you pray. And I'm going to re-emphasize a couple of things, because each and every one of us here have prayed and we have not received. Are you hearing me, someone? Okay. But there is nothing that prayer cannot do. If God can do it, then prayer can do it. Listen carefully to me again. A man or a woman who prays is in the same standing with God. I'm making a lot of big pronouncements here, and I will explain them to you. A man or woman who prays is in the same standing with God. I've made two statements. That there is nothing that God can do that prayer cannot do. One. Two, I have made a statement and I have said that a man or woman who prays is in the same standing with God. Are you hearing me, someone? In other words, a man or woman who prays is as powerful as God. Now, these are very huge pronouncements and utterances. So bear with me and let me explain it to you. If God can do it, then prayer can do it. The reason is because prayer relies absolutely on God. Are you hearing me, someone? The reason is because the strength of prayer is in God. You see, the strength of prayer is not in the man or the woman that prays. Are you hearing me, someone? But the strength of prayer is in God. You see, prayer is when the person says that I do not have the power or the ability to do it in my own strength. So that person buys into the mind of God. That person attains the hearing or the attention of God so that God can do what that person would not be able to do. So prayer is simply saying that I cannot do it, but God can do it. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? And so in other words, prayer comes to the point where prayer simply means that if God can do it, prayer can do it. Why? Because what? Prayer is an invitation for God to do it. Are you understanding this? Number two. A person that prays is in the same standing with God. Elijah, who is used as an example here, the Bible says that Elijah made an utterance and Elijah said, before God whom I stand, there shall not be rain for what? 3.5 years. He said, before God whom I stand, there shall not be rain for 3.5 years according to my word. According to my word. So it was not according to the word of God, but it was according to Elijah's word. Are you hearing me, someone? It was Elijah that locked the heavens and not God. But he had the ability and the power to lock the heavens because he was in the same standing with God. He said, before God whom I stand, he took a position. Are you hearing me, someone? And because of the position that he was standing, he was qualified to do that which only God can do. Are you understanding me? Because of where he was standing, he was qualified to do something that only God can do. Now, do not be mistaken. Before any one of you go anywhere binding waters and rains, you must understand that there are rules of engagement. You must understand that there are certain prepositions that you must fulfill in order for you to attain the standing that Elijah was. Now let me tell you this. There is persevering praying and there is prevalence praying. Are you hearing me, someone? A prayer that persevere will what? Will prevail. Are you hearing me, someone? Prevalence means to prevail. Persevering means to endure. It is what the writer calls fervency. I'm not getting into this today. But it is what the writer calls fervency. The word fervency means importunate. It means persevering. It means enduring. It means continuous praying. I hear me, someone. It means the person has been praying habitually for a long time and they have developed an atmosphere of praying. That is why Elijah can say that before God whom I stand, he has developed an atmosphere that he is ever convinced that anytime he utters a word within that atmosphere, it is bound to happen. Are you hearing me, someone? And so the utterance that he made had an atmosphere. And the atmosphere was the presence. He said, before the Lord whom I stand. Now, it was not just the sovereignty of God he was referring to. That God is everywhere. No. It wasn't, I mean, the actuality of the fact that you can say that God is here. And so because God is here, I can ask him. No. He has developed this atmosphere of assurance. So James, John says in 1 John chapter 5, he said, this is the confidence that we have. This is the confidence that we have. There is an atmosphere where you can utter anything and it will happen. Are you hearing me, someone? There is an atmosphere where you can speak anything and it will come into being. And there is an atmosphere where you must break through. There is an atmosphere where you must persevere. There is an atmosphere where you must be importunate. An atmosphere where you have to wait. And there is an atmosphere where you have to decree something. He said, I am making this utterance according to me. And I am making it with the qualification that I am within the atmosphere that I am so confident about. That every time I speak within this atmosphere, it does not matter what I ask. It may be against the laws of nature. But because I am within this atmosphere, when I ask, it will come to pass. So tonight, I want you to understand a couple of things. I am not going to go deep into these things. It's a gradual thing. Like I said, these verses are something that I could spend a whole year talking about just these three verses, I could spend a whole year standing here with you. And I'll show you why I could spend a whole year with you. Because tonight I am spending the whole time on the word effectual. Amen. He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Each one of these adjectives is important. The word effectual, when you read the Amplified Version, it says the heartfelt. The heartfelt. In other words, that the prayer must first of all be felt in the heart before it is pronounced. Are you hearing me, someone? The prayer must first of all grow on you. The prayer that is effective must consume you. The prayer, I don't know, but you see, there are times in your life where you just feel the prayer upon you. I hear me, someone. There are times in your life where you feel like a burden has been poured upon you, or you are carrying a burden upon you. You have come to that stage of that effectual, the effectiveness of prayer. In other words, the conditions for an effectual prayer have been met. Listen carefully. The prerequisite for an effectual prayer has been met if you come to that point in your life where you feel so burdened with something. You feel like something is pushing inside of you. But before I go on, like I said, I'll spend just a few minutes on effectual because that is the time that I will use. Another time, I will spend the time on fervency. It says the fervent prayer. The fervent prayer. As I said before, you have to you have to go through that, that persevering aspect of praying before your prayer can have prevalence, before your prayer can stand. So there is a need for fervency. And the prayer requires a righteous person. But a standard has been made in Christ because we are justified. And we have been sanctified. Sanctification. Right? Okay. But today I want to give you five prepositions of what makes an effective praying life. Now, these are things that you are familiar with already. But I want to project those things to your hearing today before we step into prayer. Goodness. Number one, the right motive. The right motive. Turn the screen to James chapter 4, the verse number 3. If you have a Bible, don't look into it, just write it down. The right motive is necessary for an effective praying. Because an effective praying has to do with the condition of the heart. It is how many times have we entered prayer with the mindset of what we came for? I hear me, someone. But the right motive, see, the displacement of your heart condition can cause your prayer to give you a heartbreak. In other words, you must face your heart. Place your heart at the right place. Before you inquire or before you ask anything of God, if your heart is displaced, your prayer will bring a heartbreak. James 4, 3. It says, you ask. So you are asking, all right. See, the problem is not the asking. It said, you have asked. That is not the problem. But you do not receive. And the reason why you do not receive is because you ask amiss. He said the reason why you do not what? Receive is because what? You ask amiss. So listen carefully. The problem is not the asking. The problem is not how long you have prayed. No. No. I often ask people when they are praying, I say, what are you praying about? I hear from someone. Because until you can develop a blueprint of your prayer, a specific target of your prayer, you have prayed amiss. The word amiss means to miss the target. So he said, you have asked, but you have not received. So not everyone that asks receives. But the Bible says, Jesus said that everyone that asks what? Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Now, Jesus said, everyone that asks receives. But James comes back to amplify what Jesus said, to begin to expound it unto us. Because one of the things we have often said here in the pulpit was that Jesus was not a Christian. Good news. Jesus was not a Christian, he was a Jew. So when he came to this earth, he dressed like a Jew. Right? When he came to this earth, he did not go to church. He went to where? The synagogue. He was not what? A Christian. Why? Because the church was not established until after his what? Ascension. So Jesus never went to church. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? He said, I am building my church. But the foundation was Peter. The revelation that Peter gave was the foundation, and the establishment of the revelation was Peter himself. I hear him, someone. So Jesus did not go to church, and so the things that we know concerning church were given to us from the epistles and the book of Acts. I hear him, someone. So now James amplifies, expands that which Jesus tells us. And he said, not everyone that asks will receive. In other words, now let me make this clear to you. In other words, we will live here today and not everyone here will receive. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? In other words, we will live here today. If we are to spend an hour here, we will live here for an hour praying, and not everyone here will have your prayer answered. Isn't that strange? In other words, some of us, if we do not meet the requirements, we will have wasted our time today. Are you understanding this? The right motive is necessary. You must have the right motive as to why you are praying. It says, so that they will consume it on their lust. That was their motive. That was their motive. It was a bad motive. And because it was a bad motive, it missed the target. Are you hearing me, someone? And many of the prayer requests are bad motives. Bad motives. Hannah for 20 years could not have a child. Why? Because she had a bad motive. See, the only reason why Hannah wanted a child was because there was another woman in the house called Penina. And the Bible said that, and her adversary made her very sore and bitter. It was Penina that made Hannah bitter. For the Bible said that Hekinah, the husband, wanted to give everything to Hannah. The Bible said he loved Hannah and gave everything to Hannah. But Hannah was not satisfied because of Penina. And because of that, Hannah began to pray every day. But one day, her motive changed. One day when she went to the synagogue and she saw the sons of Eli, and she realized that if Eli should die today, should Eli die today, there will not be a priest in the temple. Immediately she changed her motive. And she developed the right motive and said, God, give me a male child. She prayed a specific prayer. He said, God, give me a male child and I will give him back to you. Why? Because I have noticed that you have nobody after Eli dies. Her motives were good. Because at that point, God needed something that Hannah also needed. So there was no reason why Hannah's prayer could not be answered. Listen to me. From today, if you want your prayers to be answered, you must unlock something that God needs. You must discover something that God requires. If you can be able to find out what God wants, and you can offer it back to God, your prayer request will be answered that very day. After 20 years, the high priest walked to Anna and said unto Anna, if what you are saying is true, then go home. All you need is a benediction. When the motive is right, all you need is the benediction. He said, go home. Your prayer has been answered. Listen to me. If you were to come to church today and you had a very strong burden on your heart, something that is troubling you, and the pastor or whoever stands in the pulpit tells you, go home. Go home. The Lord has answered your prayer. Just with that simple utterance, what would you think? Would you leave? You would have thought that the pastor took your prayer for granted. Took your request for granted. Why? Because they did not give you directions. Why? Because they did not pour oil on you. Hallelujah. A woman asked for a prayer to be prayed for her. And the pastor prayed. Just prayed. Father, we thank you for this woman's life. No, just. Tada, the woman said, while he was praying, the woman tapped her and said, Osofo, Pastor, my tongues will come. In other words, put some tongues in it. Because what I am going through, you cannot be doing. Our Father who art in heaven, we love you, Lord. No. So put some tongues in the prayer. But where the right motive is available, you can go home. I'm telling you. Where the right motive, and this is the assessment of every prayer request. I am telling you. There are reasons why people will not be able to keep a job when they get it. The reason is because they are unfaithful. I hear him as someone. The reason is because they are very unfaithful people. Very, very unfaithful. And their motives are not good. And as a result of that, no matter who prays for them, God will still take the job from them. Or God will cause trouble where they are. The reason is because the motive is not right. The motive is not right. You need to ask yourself very carefully, what is the motive of your prayer request tonight? Number two, an unforgiving spirit. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter number 6 on the screen. Like I said, just write it down. Matthew 6, the verse number 9. Let me see if we can read from there. After this manner, therefore, pray ye saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, the person who turned on this projector today, you have done a great evil. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The next verse. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The next verse. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive who? So he said, forgive us as we forgive. He said, forgive as we forgive. Now, this is a very simple English. Are you hearing me, someone? He said, the reason why we are asking for forgiveness is because we have forgiven. Are you hearing me, someone? In other words, the person making the request is saying that if we do not forgive, then do not forgive us. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? Don't say amen. Are you hearing me, someone? You say yes. Amen. Hallelujah. It said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A lot of us here have debtors. Are you hearing me, someone? You have come to prayer meeting today, but you have people that are indebted to you that you have not forgiven. Those of you who are saying yes, you are the people I'm talking to. Mark 11. Mark, put it on Mark 11 quickly. Let me open my Bible. I think this one, I have to go through my Bible. Hallelujah. Mark 11. Okay. The verse number 25. No, go to the verse number 24. Let me just emphasize, because we don't have time to read the whole 10. Let me just say something. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? And you shall what? Now let me read that again to you so that you understand it if you might have missed it. It said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever, anything that you desire, anything at all, that you desire when you pray, believe that what you have received them, this is the prayer of faith, and you shall what? Have them. But now look at the next verse, 25. Therefore I say unto, no, and when you what? Stand praying. Now go back to the verse number 24, let me show you something. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, whatever you desire when you pray, the next verse 25. And when you stand praying, now listen carefully. The verse number 24, it says, anything that you desire when you are praying, you shall receive them. But this was to be inserted in the middle of that verse before the next thing continues. Are you understanding this? Are you understanding this? Are you understanding this? Go to the verse number 24. I feel like you don't understand it. You are lying to me. It said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now you should have stopped there. The verse number 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand praying, in other words, before you make any request of what you desire. In other words, your heavenly Father had a desire to give you anything. But when you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. In other words, if you forgive anyone, then your Father also what? Forgives. But if you do not forgive, the verse number 26. But if you do not forgive, neither would your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now we pray and we say what? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. No. There are conditions that must be met. He is faithful and just to this. Are you hearing me, someone? He said, but if you do not forgive, he does not forgive you. Are you hearing me, someone? Listen, I don't care how you feel. Your emotions, oh, as for me, you know, I just want to hold it in me for a while. If you hold it in you for a while, God also holds it for a while. You are not doing anybody good. He said, if you do not forgive, I, God, will not forgive either. Are you hearing me, someone? So certain prayers are hindered before they are even spoken. Some of you, you are wasting your time. I'm telling you. You are wasting your time. It's not in the multitudes of, you know, I'm praying. No. If you do not forgive, say, I do not forgive you. You are already in violation. Listen to me carefully. Elijah said, before God whom I stand, I have made this utterance, there shall not be no rain according to my word. He developed the atmosphere. But if you are in trespass and violation of the atmosphere, you do not have the confidence. John said, this is the confidence that we have. This is the confidence. In other words, if I have something against someone, I do not have the atmosphere and I do not have the confidence. So when I pray, I should have the answer to my own prayer. Listen to me carefully. When I pray, I should have the answer to my own prayer, which means that God will not answer my prayer. Are you hearing me here, someone? I do not want to deceive you here tonight. Are you hearing me? I do not, because I would rather you know the right end, do the right end, pray the right way, leave this place fulfilled. Before you can gain that atmosphere around you. You see, like I said, I don't have time for the entire scripture. Because if we go through the entire scripture, we shall not leave here. Because some of you, you love the very fact that Elijah did this. You are just mesmerized by it. You just love it. And you wish you can do the same thing. But there are conditions to be met. There are rudiments that must be fulfilled. He said, you must what? Forgive. You must forgive. Wow. What just happened here? You people. I spoke about one, the right motive. Two, I spoke about a forgiving spirit. What? An unforgiving spirit. I just misplaced my notes just right now on my screen. Amazing. Let me think then. Jesus. That is very interesting. I like this. I should have confidence in my paper. Amen. Once you write the ink stays there. All right. So, one, I said what? The right motive. Okay, let me do the next one. Three, a clean heart. Psalm number 66, the verse number 12. Everything just disappeared. Amen. That's amazing. Hallelujah. Psalm number 66. So when the devil does not like what you are saying, it says, thou hast caused men to what? To hide over our heads. We went through fire and through, no, the verse number 18, I'm sorry. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? Listen to me. There are certain scriptures, you must keep them in your heart. I hear it, because they will straighten your understanding and your path. Before you go to prayer, you are shivering. I'm telling you. There is a reason why the Bible said, and now therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Mercy, that you might receive what? grace in time of what? Need. There is a reason why he said that. The reason is because approaching the throne is difficult. Solomon said, God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your ways be few. In other words, humble yourself. In other words, examine yourself carefully before you approach God. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. So the writer said that in Hebrews, he said, now therefore, come boldly to the throne. The reason is because it was a fearful thing to approach the throne of God, knowing what a man has done. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, it says, you, God, will not hear my word. Prayers. You will not hear me. So it is up to you this very night to live here asking yourself this question. Have you regarded iniquity in your heart? Have you kept, because some of you are asking, why is it that this thing is not being answered? Why? Why is it that the prayer that you are praying, why is it that what you are looking for, God is not saying anything to you? Why? Why? You need to analyze yourself carefully, because at a certain point in your life, you are in violation of something. The Bible said that, and the man carried the accursed thing. He took the accursed thing from Jericho. And scripture said that, when Joshua got to Ai, they lost the battle and Ai chased them out. Ai chased them out. Ai. A-I. It's a two-letter word, but it's just a one-letter word. It means Ai. Yes. Ai chased them out. The problem was them themselves. For the Bible said, when Joshua went into prayer and he asked God, God, why did you disgrace us like this? And God said, Joshua, there is sin in the camp. Examine the camp. Examine yourself. The reason why you lost and the reason why your prayer was not granted is because there is sin in the camp. Something has happened. And the Bible said that they began to examine the entire camp. And that is what some of you must do when you live here today. Examine your camp. Examine your camp. I'm telling you. Examine your camp. Go home. Examine your camp. Examine the people who live in your house. I just remember the next point. I don't have my nose anymore, so everything has to just be like that. Examine the people who live in your house. Write the next point down before I forget, because I'm growing old. Let me write it down myself. I can't trust you guys. The way you are talking and talking, you have probably missed the point. The right relationship or the right association. When you live here today, examine your camp. God said unto Joshua, there is sin in your camp. There is an accursed thing in your camp. That is why your prayers were not answered. You see, iniquity does not literally refer to you. But iniquity refers to someone around you, in your family, who has done something and it has affected you. Amen. Are you hearing me, someone? Amen. Are you hearing me, someone? Amen. So the Bible said, after Joshua had prayed, he brought everybody out of the camp and said, who has done this thing? The Bible said, a conviction came, and there was a man called Achan, and the Bible said that he came out and said, me, he said, I have done it. I was going to say, he said, me and my family. He said, I took of this accursed thing. And Joshua made a very pronouncement I will never forget. He said, you have troubled us, and our God shall trouble you too. He said, you are, in other words, all the trouble we have had is because of you. And some of you, the trouble you are carrying is not because of you. It's because of someone in your camp. Are you hearing me, someone? There is someone in your camp, and that is why you are suffering, and that is why you are carrying an unnecessary trouble. So that even I defeat you. The weakest nation, the smallest nation, I defeated them. So some of us, we are, even McDonald's will not employ you. Listen. Listen, with all seriousness, when you ever make the mistake, and the devil gets you, and the devil is the one standing on your right hand. The Bible said this is Joshua the high priest, and the devil was standing not on his left hand, but on his right hand. Do you know what that means? The right is a position of authority. In other words, he was subjected to the devil. I hear him, somebody. So that the devil had rulership over every activity in his life until God intervened. Amen. I hear him, someone. Amen. I'm telling you, so that you will apply everywhere, and they will make you look like, you know, you are not qualified for anything. Find what is in your camp. Number four. No, it's four. Four, I said, wrote it down. I didn't even go through it. Listen carefully to me. Write four and write the right relationship. If you were listening, you will know what is going on. It's four. Okay? The right relationship. You should listen. I have a bad memory, but not that bad. The right relationship. Now the scripture is the problem. Exodus. Chapter number 33. The right relationship. Exodus chapter 33. Let me dig for my scripture and then we'll see. Okay. Now I'm going to read. I have a lot of verses here. I want to pick through something quickly. And then I'll read that for you. I'm thinking. No, wait. Don't go to Exodus. The story is in Exodus, but let me open it somewhere here for you. Give me a second, please. The verse, James chapter 2, the verse number 23. A couple of things. Now, listen, the Bible says in the book of Amos that can't two walk together except they agree. There is a relationship that is developed between two, which is God and you. It says, can two walk together except what? They what? Agree. In other words, for your prayer to be effective, the fourth thing is dependent on your relationship with God. The fourth thing is dependent on your relationship with what? You must know God as much as he knows you. Now, that is a very ambitious statement, but I will explain it to you. The Bible says in James chapter 2, the verse number 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of what? God. Abraham believed God, and he was called a friend of God. Now, when you read a book, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God said unto Abraham, when God was going to Sodom to destroy Sodom, there was a righteous man who sat at the gate. His name was called Lot, right? For the Bible said Lot was righteous. But you see, when God was going to destroy Sodom, he did not consult Lot. But Lot was a righteous man, right? Because the secret things are only given to people who are intimate with you. You, when you have a friend, you share your intimate secrets with your friends. The same way, when God has a secret, he goes to his friend. That's right. And the Bible said God calls Abraham his friend. So God said unto Abraham, he said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall become a great nation, and his seed shall become greater. He said, shall I hide from Abraham? And God calls him a friend. Now, a friend is someone that you share secrets with. A friend is someone that you hang around with. A friend is someone that you go to recreational activities with. A friend is someone that you talk to a lot in your life. That is who a friend is, right? A friend sticks together than a brother, the Bible says. So the same way, if a friend sticks together than a brother, then Abraham was so close to God. He was so close to God that God had to call him a friend. Now the question that you must ask yourself is whether you are a friend of God. Now your first response will be yes. But the problem is not that. The thing about Abraham and Moses was that they never said that they were a friend of God. It was God who called them a friend. In Exodus chapter 33, when Moses had required the presence of God, at that point God issued and God called him a friend. So you have to know one thing. It's another thing. I mean, it's really one thing for me to say I'm a friend of God, and for you to sing the song and dance with it and all kinds of things. Right? Right? Because the fact that you know someone does not mean that they are your friend. Amen. Right, Linda? Amen. Now, you know Oprah Winfrey, you know Obama. But if you need a job, you don't go to Obama and you don't go to Oprah. But you know them, right? You know them, right? Of course you know them. You know them, right? You know them because you have seen them on TV, but they are not your friends. When you are broke, you don't go to Oprah. You don't go to Obama. The first people you call is your friends. Right? Those are the first people that you call. Why? Because you have developed that relationship with them. So the fact that you know God does not mean God is your friend. Are you hearing me, someone? The fact that you have read your Bible, you sing the hymns, you know God, does not mean that God is your friend. But the relationship you develop with God is what indicates that he is your friend. The time you spend with him, the intimacy you develop with him, is what shows that God is your friend. Quickly, let me go to the next point. I won't go into prayer. I'm sorry. The next final 10. I'm cutting this thing very short so that we can go into prayer. The next 10. Number one, I said you need what? The right motive. Number two, I said you need what? You need a forgiving spirit or an unforgiving spirit hinders prayer. Number three, I said what? What? A clean heart. A clean heart. I said, if I harbor iniquity in my heart, thou, O Lord, will not hear me. Number four. The right relationship, the right relationship or association. I should have talked a little bit into that, but I don't have the time. I'm sorry. The next thing, number five, is every prayer must be offered with an open heaven. Every prayer must be offered. For your prayer to be effective, it must have the ears of God. An open heaven means the hearing of God. The Bible said that your eyes is upon the righteous and your ears is attentive unto their prayers. Now turn to Luke chapter 3, the verse number 21. Let's close over there. You need an open heaven. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven opened. The heaven what? Open. He said, while all the people were being what? And Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens opened. And the Bible says in the next verse, and a voice Sorry, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. So the Bible said that he obtained an open heaven. An open heaven. And when he obtained an open heaven, there was a voice of authentication. A voice that certified his position and who he is. In other words, everyone can submit themselves to pray, but not everyone will have an open heaven. Solomon said that if your people are gathered and they are praying, and the heavens are like brass. He said if the heavens are shut and there is no rain. In other words, some people pray with a shut heaven. Are you understanding me? He said, if your people who are called by your name shall what? Humble themselves and what? Pray. He said, you shall what? Hear from heaven. Now he spoke about if the heavens are shut and there is what? No rain. In other words, not everyone prays with an open heaven. Some of you, your prayers are not going nowhere. The prayers are so cold. Before they get to heaven, they freeze. Not everyone has an open heaven when they are praying. The Bible said while Jesus was praying, the heavens opened. In other words, when certain people are praying, the heavens open. And when certain people are praying, the heavens are closed. Are you hearing me, someone? It is your responsibility to know where you stand. Because after the heavens opened, and then the heavens approved of him. Are you hearing me, someone? And then the heavens qualified who he is. The heavens spoke on his behalf. He need not speak for himself. Why? Because he has an open heaven. Are you hearing me, someone? He need not speak for himself. Why? Because the heavens were open and the heavens spoke on his behalf. The Bible said that while Jesus was passing by, the Bible said it was the last time that he was passing. And scripture said that there were many people that surrounded him. And there was a man called blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. And scripture said that he sat by the wayside in Jericho. And the Bible said as Jesus was passing, there was a lot of noise because there is always noise where there are multitudes and thousands. And there is a commotion whenever such a gathering is available. And the Bible said that by reason of the noise, the man asked a question. He said, what is happening? And he said, it is Jesus of Nazareth. He passed by this way. Listen carefully. The man asked the question. He said, what is happening? What is the reason for this noise? Why is all this happening? Listen to me. In the midst of the noise, a man saw an open heaven. Some of us have missed the point of contact with God because we were easily distracted. It was noise, but the blind man saw the heavens opened. And when he asked the question, he said, what is this? And they said, it is Jesus of Nazareth. He passed by this way. And the Bible said the blind man began to shout on top of his voice. And said, son of David, son of David, have mercy on me. Somehow, the people who were following and they had eyes could not know that the heavens were open. But when the blind man was told who was passing, immediately he knew that the doors of heaven and mercy was available unto him. So the Bible said he began to shout on top of his voice. And scripture said as he shouted, they said unto him, hold your peace. But the man would not hold his peace. Why? Because the gates of heaven are left ajar, but not for so long. The gates of heaven are open, but it will not be for so long. Because Jesus, the Bible said, he passed by this way. They said it is Jesus, for he passed by this way. He is not standing, he is not preaching, he is passing by this way. He is just walking through Jericho. He is not staying in Jericho. He is not spending a night in Jericho. And so the doors were open, but they were not open for long. And so they said unto the man, shut up. up. But the Bible said he cried out the more on top of his voice, and he shouted and said, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me." Why? Because he knew the heavens was open. I don't know about you here tonight, but if you have spiritual eyes in this house, you will know when your heavens are open. You will know when the doors of heavens are open. For the Bible said, Peter and John were passing by at the ninth hour of praying. If you ever knew anything about prayer, the ninth hour is when the heavens are open. It was the ninth hour that Jesus, upon Calvary, stood and said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" And the Bible said, it was translated, "My Father, my Father, why have thou forsaken me?" And the Bible said, immediately there was earthquakes, there were thunderings. Why? Because the heavens were open at the ninth hour. And as Peter and John were passing, there was a man that was crippled for 38 years. He was there when Jesus came to the temple, but he did not receive healing. But today he was positioned at the ninth hour of praying, where the heavens were open. And he said unto Peter and John, he said, "Give me something." And they said, "Silver and gold we do not have, but look at us, fix your eyes on us." And the Bible said he looked directly on them, expecting to receive something. Why? Because the heavens were open. And Peter said, "Rise up and walk." Oh my God, there was a presence, there was a presence, and there was an open heaven. And so a man could just say, "Rise up and walk." And the Bible said he stood up, he began to walk, he began to leap. I don't know about you, it was a 38 year case, it has been there for so long. I don't know how long your case has been, I don't know how long your problem has been, but where there is an open heaven, someone's release will come. It does not matter how long. Tonight I pray, before God whom I stand, Solomon said, "If we shall gather in your house and we shall lift up prayer, the heavens will open." Even if the heavens are shut, tonight the heavens are not shut in this church. I said they are not shut, because we have a covenant of assurance that when we gather, the heavens will open. And tonight our heavens is open. May heaven do what you are requiring. I said tonight, may the desire of someone be fulfilled in the name of Jesus Christ. It does not matter how long the problem is. It is my prayer tonight that someone here will live here with the blessings of God. In Jesus' name, shall we be on our feet? Let me have the praise and worship team quickly. Today is the last Friday. You will have a forgiving heart after I spoke about forgiveness. Amen. Father in heaven,
how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our presence. As your people declare your mighty word, blessed be the Lord.
Blessed be the Lord. in heaven.
Father in heaven,
how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth.
May your kingdom
be established in high places.
As your people
declare your mighty of the service of the Lord. God Almighty, who was and is and is to come, be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever.
Hallelujah.